We are in the second message of a series where we are answering the age-old question, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What is my calling? What am I doing? Why did God put me here? These are questions that at some point in time in life, we ask. And we discovered last week that we are all called for a purpose. That's what this entire series is about, the calling that is on our lives. Before we were even born, the Bible says that our Creator, God in heaven, has a calling on each one of our lives that only we can walk out. Only I can walk out the calling on my life. Only Henry can walk out the calling on his life. Only Paul can walk out the calling in his life, because it is specifically designed for each individual by our Creator. And so, and what I think is crazy too is that the Bible doesn't just say that this calling was placed on us before we were born. It even says before the beginning of time. This is like, to me, this is mind-boggling stuff where like my mind just kind of locks up. Like when I think about some of the things of God and His infinite, character and stuff, that sometimes I'm just like, that's where faith comes in at. Like, you can get tripped up in trying to figure out some of these things that we're not supposed to know anyways. And so that's where faith comes in at. But if you were not here last Sunday, I encourage you to go online, vineyard05.com, or our Facebook page, watch the sermon. It'll catch you up to speed with where we're at now. But one of the things that we said was last week was the moment that we say yes to Jesus, the moment we accept Him into our lives, the moment we say, Jesus, I'm yours, let's do this together, our lives are no longer ours to live. It is Him living through us. Because He wants to reach people all around us. And He's got plans to do through us. And so we set our own lives aside so that Jesus can do the things that He wants to do through us. We begin to live out that calling that was placed on our lives from before we were even born. See, the calling that we're talking about is much deeper than just our gifts and our talents. Being a musician is a gift, it's a talent. Your career, what you're doing in your career, that's a gift and a talent that God has given you to do. Is your calling found in those things? Not really, because the calling is deeper than that. It's spiritual. Your calling is something that God puts on your life for you to help and to point others toward Jesus. See, it's much deeper than being a spouse or being a parent or being a successful career-wise, being successful in your career or in your education. It's much deeper than that. And to understand our calling, we have to go to the starting point of where that calling came from. And that calling comes from God. So how do I get an understanding of what my calling is? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to go to the very nature of who God is. And God is love. The very nature, the characteristics of God is love. And so I want to start out in a passage from Ephesians chapter 1 so we can just kind of lay the groundwork for today's message. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. There is a lot of depth in that passage right there. A lot. But did you catch the opening sentence there in verse 4? God loved us and chose us. We often say, I found Jesus. I came to Jesus. Well, you found Him, but really He's been chasing after you all along, and you listened to His voice. God chose us, and He loved us. See, God created the universe, everything we see out there, all the planets and stars and cosmos and all of that stuff. And then he created the earth and everything in it, the mountains, the trees, the fish, the animals, the plants, all of this stuff. And then he created mankind. He created humanity. You see, you and I were created so that God could have someone to love. We're the only living, breathing creatures on this earth that have a relationship with our Creator. A real live relationship where He talks to us, we talk to Him, He listens, we listen. The moment we choose Jesus, we are without fault in His eyes. Think about that for a minute. We are without fault in His eyes. We see ourselves in the mirror and we see all the faults. Jesus says, I see perfection. The moment we choose Jesus, we are without fault, and we now live as adopted sons and daughters in the kingdom of God's family. See, the reason that we exist is because God wanted a family. This is the kind of stuff that I don't let my brain go down. I take it by faith. God wanted a family, and we're all part of that family that He wanted. He created us so that He could have a family to hang out with, people to love. The Bible says this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure in creating each one of us. I honestly believe that when we look in the mirror and we see all our flaws and we dwell on that, I really think that God is like, please don't do that. I love you the way I created you. You are who I created you. And I know it's hard for us to get past that, but what I want you to know is that God sees you perfect the way you are, everything about you. I know that this sounds a little weird, but this is what the Bible tells us in this passage. And this is what should give us hope in knowing that everything is going to be all right, no matter what is happening. Everything will be all right. This is why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 68, God sets the lonely in families, in kingdom of God families. Or in today's day and age, God sets the lonely in a church family. We are a church family here. Some of you have been in this family for many, many years. Some not very long, and some are figuring out whether or not you want to join this family. But think about how you came to this church. If you really think about it, it was the Holy Spirit that led you to this church. And He's leading other people to other churches too. Every church has a different flavor that attracts people. I know for me, I needed something else in my life. I was doing things on my own. I was all by myself. And God set me in this church family. Now, the next couple of minutes, I'm going to say some things that are going to blow your, and you might even be like, I don't know about that. Just hear me out, all right? Before we set out to do things for God, we have to receive from Him, okay? I think we get this backwards sometimes. I think we come into church and we're like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be involved, I want to this and that and the other, and you're still messed up because of why you came to Jesus, right? Normally, for a lot of us, we came to Jesus because we needed some help. Now, I'm speaking for myself here. Needed some help in life, man. I was failing doing it on my own. And so when you just start getting involved so quickly like that, I think oftentimes you don't give God a chance to kind of speak to you for a minute. Let Him love on you for a minute. So for instance, just hang with me. Our first purpose when we come to Jesus is not to serve. I know our motto is serve God, serve people. Our first purpose when we come to Jesus is not to trust. Our first purpose when we come to Jesus is not even to obey. Our first purpose when we come to Jesus is to let Him love us. Just let him love you. Serving, trusting, obedience, all of that will come later. Once you just relax, let him show you what's been going on in your life. Hey, this is what you shouldn't be doing. This is what you should be doing. This is where I want you. And we just let him love on us. And then you can get going with the serving and the obedience and everything. That's where you find out, hey, I'm a part of this church family and I want to do what this family does. But see, when we first come to Jesus, if I'm speaking to somebody here, let him love you. Just let him love you. Because the Bible says he loved us and chose us. He puts us in a family. This is what he wanted to do, and it gives him great pleasure to love on his people who are hurting because they try to go through life without him. That makes sense? Now, I'm going to quote a passage from the book of Jude, a very small book, one chapter book, right before the book of Revelation, towards the end. It's a heavy, heavy one chapter to read. Jude was a brother of Jesus's, half-brother, actually, because they had the same mom, but Jesus was born of a virgin. But when you read this one chapter, man, what I think of is like how many late-night conversations did he have with his brother to come up with this stuff? But here's what Jude said. In the very first verse of verse 1 and 2. I am writing to all who have been called by the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Isn't that amazing? But look what he says. I am writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you. Paul, in his book, the Apostle Paul, to the Romans, in his opening statement in verse 7, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. I don't think these two guys are sitting around going, yeah, let's start our letters like this. I don't think so. I think the Holy Spirit was speaking to these two guys at different times as they were writing these letters. And there's something that we need to understand in both of these statements. We are called by God. We are loved by God. So what is my calling? What is my calling in life? Well, to start with, when you say yes to Jesus, the very beginning of your calling is to simply enjoy the relationship with your Creator. Just enjoy it. Let him clean you up. Let him help you make some changes. Let him show you some things, teach you some things. And if you're having trouble identifying what your calling is, because sometimes we do that, accepting the love that Jesus has for you is the starting point. And sometimes when we're a little confused about things, we need to go back to the drawing board, back to the starting point. So if you're like, man, this really bothers me because I don't know what my calling is, then just start from the beginning then. I think that's what the Lord wants some of you to hear. Stop making it complicated and just rest in me for a minute and I'll start pointing some things out to you. See, we are called to live in the love of God, first and foremost. This is how the relationship with him starts, and that's how it continues from there. And oftentimes, as human beings, what do? We make things complicated. The most amazing truth in all things is that God wants a family to love. And he wants each one of us to be in that family simply so he can love on us. When we start making it complicated and confusing and we get confused, I kind of see God going, would you just slow down a minute? You're getting ahead of me. You're not listening to me. I'm trying to get your attention. Just pull back the recliner a little bit and rest in me. Just rest for a minute so I can speak to you. Last week we looked at a prayer that Paul had prayed for the Ephesians, and I said, you know, I wanted that to be our prayer for as we go through this series. Well, there's another prayer that he prayed that I also want us to look at for today and for this specific sermon, but also for this series. But I hope that this prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians that transcends time 2,000 years later is still in effect. I hope that it helps those of us here that do not feel loved. Okay? Because when we don't feel loved, it's hard to understand and to comprehend and to even buy in that there's a God who loves us. So let's jump into this prayer. Is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That right there is enough, isn't it? Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. If you struggle with being loved, if you've had an upbringing, or if you've had past experiences where you struggle with being loved, I encourage you to make this your life verse for right now. See, our human minds cannot comprehend how much Jesus loves us, how much he takes care of us with his unlimited resources. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. That right there says you can't understand it. It's too big for you to even understand. So just rest in it. Just soak it up. As we begin to experience a glimpse of these unlimited resources, we become empowered with inner strength by the Holy Spirit. That's what gets us through our trials and our hard days and the friction of other people. And this is what helps us trust Jesus as he begins to make his home in our hearts. And as this happens, our roots will grow down into God's love. And this is what keeps us going when the storms of life blow us this way and that way. And something about roots growing deep into God's love, the only way your roots are going to grow down deep into God's love is when you have a church family that you belong to and you are under the covering of that church family, so that you can become rooted in what's happening there. Now, let's land on verse 18 for a second. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I think there was a worship song, wasn't there, back in the early 2000s or something about that? When it comes to the width of God's love, there's no place on this planet his love cannot be found. It is in the darkest of valleys, and it is in the wealthiest of homes. Remember when you were little, you would tell your parents or maybe your grandparents, I love you this much, and you try to stretch your arms out? That's what God tells us. That's how wide his love is. See, we may not always see it, and we might wonder where it is, but the fact remains the same. The fact remains, his love is what is holding everything together. We ask the question, why would God let this happen? Why does God let bad things happen? Why does God do this? When we should be asking, where are you in this, God? See, the devil runs rampant around this earth, searching and seeking like a roaring lion to destroy and devour whatever it is that he can that's a part of God's creation. And if he can get us to focus on that and to question why God would allow that to happen, then we are questioning why our Creator is allowing bad stuff to happen. Instead of saying, God, help me see you in this. God, how can I be a part of something positive in this with your strength and your Holy Spirit? Right now, you can't see the sound waves from this microphone that are coming out of these speakers. You can't see all the radio frequencies that are bouncing all around this room from our phones and everything else, and the Wi-Fi. We can't see that. But we all know they're there, right? There's no denying it. We trust they're there. And when they're not there, we know, right? Because the router goes down and we freak out because we have no connection to the internet. It's the same with God's love. We can't see it, but we have to trust and know that it is there when we're not really feeling it. See, when we tune into God and we stay tuned in, that's when we know His love is there. Well, how do we do that? We read the Bible every day. We have a regular reading schedule. We talk to God every day. Start your day out. Even if it's just, good morning, Lord, can you help me through today? End your day by saying goodnight to Him. Thank Him for your day. No matter how bad it was, thank Him. There's something that you can be thankful for. See, no matter where we are in life, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, God's love is there. We just got to press into it. Sometimes we have to press into it, and sometimes God wants us to press into it because it draws us closer to Him. God doesn't play games and say, I'm going to hide for a little bit behind this tree till He can find me. His love is there at all times, but sometimes we got to press into it a little bit. But we can never outrun it, and we can't hide from it as much as we want to sometimes. So what about the length of God's love? How long is God's love? Well, it's long enough to last forever. It lasts forever. It lasts an eternity. Now, as human beings, we, you know, well, that sounds really nice, Chip, but how long is forever? Well, let me help you out with this analogy. It's hard for us to comprehend that because human love often fades. That's why we have breakups. That's why we cut people out of our lives that upset us. That's why that's why when people come into our lives and out of our lives, maybe because they move or whatever, you know, your love for that person kind of fades away because they're no longer in your life. It fades. It's not the same as it was because we're human beings. God's love is not like that. It lasts forever. The same. It doesn't wax and wane. It is the same. Human love wears out, but God's love lasts an eternity. He will never, ever stop loving us, even when we reject Him. He still loves us. He's still there waiting for us to say, I need you. Can you come into my life again? Or again and again and again. He's always going to be there. And then the depth of God's love will go to the lowest of lows in life. There's a psalm, Psalm 40. It says, He lifted me out of the pit of despair. He set my feet on solid ground. I believe this was written by King David, and he was in a pit of despair. Depression and anxiety. King David went through it all, man, emotionally. And he said, God lifted me out of this, and He set my feet on solid ground. See, God will meet us in those lowest and darkest of places in life and lift us back up on solid ground. When we're in those low, dark places, sometimes we got to search Him out. We got to press into it. Instead of saying, why could you let this happen to me? Just say, God, where are you in this? I need you. Because of Jesus, God's love overlooks our faults, our failures, our mess-ups, and even our acts of rebellion. Now, He doesn't turn a blind eye to them. There's always consequences for our behavior. but he finds no fault in us. His love is unconditional, and his forgiveness is available countless times over because he just wants to spend time with us and love on us. He'll help us through all of that, those situations we get ourselves in. Every time he will. If God had a calling on our lives since before we were born, since the beginning of time, then picture him saying this. As I was working on this, this is why I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted some people in this room to hear today. Picture him saying this. I saw you formed in your mother's womb. I saw you take your first breath. I heard your first cry. There's never been a moment of your life that I have not been with you, that I have not loved you, and I have watched you go through every high and every low point in life. The moment you welcomed my son into your life was the moment the calling placed on your life began to come alive. Some of us need to hear that. See, the reason that I think this is important is because when we envision God himself saying this to us, it helps us when we are trying to avoid him. Oftentimes we try to avoid God because of the things we've done. God just wants us to know how much he loves us. But why do we avoid God? I don't know. It could be a number of reasons. Could be shame, could be guilt, could be condemnation. Could be the fact that somebody's been judging you all this time and you didn't like it. Could be an unhealthy amount of criticism that's always been upon you. And you're like, you know what? I keep hearing about this God that's perfect, that loves me. But if he's perfect, all he's going to do is point out everything that everybody else has pointed out in my life. And I think that's something that the enemy tries to get into our heads. Well, Jesus himself said, I did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save it. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. We are not condemned. Being a follower of Jesus is a no condemnation lifestyle. There's no condemnation in that. But let's take it a little bit deeper and let's quote Or let's read something from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. See? Not just me saying that. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. How many people need to read that today? How many people needed to hear that? Since we have been made right with God, the moment you say, Jesus, I want you into my life, you have been made right with God. You have right standing with God. And then Jesus brings you into this place of undeserved privilege. That is favor. See, this is acceptance. This is being accepted into God's family, into his kingdom. And you are made right with him. Being made right with God because of our faith in Jesus sets us free. The moment you ask Jesus in your life, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, okay? And he says, look, Dad, here's somebody else who put their faith in me. And then I picture God, I know this doesn't really like this, but he just gives him like this little nod of approval. And then Jesus says, you have been made right before God, before the creator of everything you see. You now have right standing in front of God. Picture this, you're in a courtroom. You've got a judge giving you the eye because you are guilty by the world's standards. But your lawyer is Jesus. this person is made right before you, judge. And the judge says, right you are. That person now has undeserved privilege because of their faith in you, Jesus. When we know that God loves us and that Jesus has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege, we then experience the fullness of God's love and we no longer depend on the approval of others. We don't have to have the approval of everybody else. As human beings, isn't that what we want? Even this morning, I said, Kim, is this shirt good? Because I just need to know. The reason, though, is because we are confident in who we are as believers in Jesus. We need to get this settled in our hearts, church. We need to live our lives with confidence, not beat up. And this is also a passage that many people struggle with. Because the idea of a God who accepts me for who I am, flaws and all, bad habits and everything, doesn't make sense. Why would he want me in his kingdom? Why would he want me to be a part of his family? And you know, about a month ago, we did a series about the vineyard, and I talked about the theology of the already and the not yet, and how there's this tension of how the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet in its fullness. Well, this is some tension right here that we're talking about that believers deal with. How can I receive undeserved privilege when I'm constantly messing up? I can't seem to get it right. I'm always doing what the Bible says I shouldn't be doing, and I'm always not doing what the Bible says I should be doing. But what you have to do, here's the answer. Ready for this? Some people I've been talking to lately have been hearing me say this. I got your answer for you. You ready? Do your best. Just do your best. If you can honestly say, I'm doing my best, and it's not just lip service, it's not just something that you think somebody wants to hear. Jesus, I am doing my best, and don't even say, I know my best doesn't measure up. Just say, I'm doing my best. Man, he understands you more than you understand yourself. He created you. If you're doing your best, you just give the rest to him and say, God, I'm doing my best. I need help here. And he will drop a scripture verse in your heart. He'll bring somebody alongside of you. He's got unlimited resources that can help you get over these humps in life that are tripping you up. If you can honestly say, God, I'm doing my best, he'll bring you the next step further. You do the best you can in life and know that you have a creator in heaven that wants nothing more than to love you and help you through life. Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to this cross so that you and I can have right standing with God. That's what it is. God wants us to live in peace with ourselves, everybody around us, and with him. And it all starts with allowing him to love us. And I'll wrap it up real quick with this. When we get it in, it's settled in our hearts that God is love and that he created each one of us so that he could love us and provide for us, then we are confident that we have a creator on our side to get us through the trials and storms of life, as well as somebody who wants to rejoice with us when times are good too. Why do we always forget about God when times are good? Bring him in on that excitement. He's already there. When someone loves us unconditionally the way that God does, it releases us from everything that's holding us back from living out our calling. And maybe you're not sure what your calling is. Well, maybe it's because right now, God just wants you to let him love you so that you can experience firsthand what it's like to live in right standing with your creator. Psalm 145 tells us, the Lord is close to all who call on him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you for these passages that are really coming alive into my life as we kind of work this sermon out together. And I pray for those today, Lord God, that things jumped out at them like, oh my goodness, that's what I needed to hear. Wow, this really helps. God, I ask that as we move into a time of worship, Lord, that you would speak even more to them, that they would experience your love, your unlimited resources, the love that Jesus has for them, Lord God, more so than ever before. It's uncomprehendable. Blow us away today, Lord Jesus, so that we can walk out of here not questioning or wondering where your love is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo!